Hello, dear viewers. I'm George from Ireland. So here I am in Trinity College, Oxford. Not to be confused with Trinity College, Dublin, or Trinity College, Cambridge. So it was right on the High Street in Oxford. It's got sort of a prime position. And then behind me is Balliol over the wall, their rival, which is three centuries older, almost. I knew a chap, the late Reverend Bill Sykes, who was at Balliol in the early 60s. You can see their chapel. And he said they used to sing insulting songs to each other over the wall on Saturday night, Gundawali and so on, such japes. So that's a bit of the Trinity MCR. I was there, so Easter 2001. My only time I was ever there with two other Irish chaps, the head of the Irish Society, he's also from Cork, from Mallow, and some German postgraduate. And so these are more Trinity buildings. And look, a flower meadow they've let grow wild. I think it's very pleasing. What think you? Anyway, this was founded in 1555, although almost none of the buildings are original. This is a late 19th century building here. It used to come for ALCA meetings almost all the time as an Oxford University Conservative Association. So there's 19th century ones, and there's even some 21st century ones, as we shall see. Founded by Sir Thomas Pope, who came from a landowning family in Banbury, which is just north of Oxford. He's the only old Etonian to found any college at Oxford University. And then you'll see some of the late 20th century stuff, which is rather ugly. What do you think? Now, why did he found this college? Well, he was a Catholic and he wanted to bring back Catholicism. So he founded it in that very brief five-year reign of Mary Tudor, when she restored Catholicism as the state religion of England. There had been a Benedictine monastery here called Durham Monastery, but it was closed down during the dissolution of monasteries in the 1530s under Thomas Cromwell, the great uncle of Oliver Cromwell. It was Lord Chancellor for a while, Thomas Cromwell. So the monks were all lay aside, sent away, but the buildings were still here. And then so Sir Thomas Pope, he purchased that and he turned it into the college, I think for 8 undergraduates initially. Postgraduates didn't really exist till the 20th century. So more of that 19th century building, I think rather fine. What do you think? Do you find it handsome? So is that sandstone? A lot of this local buttery coloured stone, you find so many things constructed in, particularly in the 19th century. And this is very not vernacular, this brutalist late 20th century abomination. And a bit of the library there with the very long windows to admit the maximum amount of light to permit reading. But as you may know, in this country, windows exist mostly to let in more darkness. And then this has only been built in the last few years. I think it's very fine for 21st century. You know, it's almost attractive. On the plain side, boxy, just got a few features to make it not quite completely plain. And I'm glad they've let a little bit of green space, even though you're not allowed to walk into it. Okay, so like a cafeteria. And look at this water feature. Pleasing here to hear the little rivulet trickling by. And then the chairs, they've got the names of who paid for them, donated old members and people at the college a long time ago, and the year he or she matriculated. Well, it didn't take women till the late 1970s, Trinity. And you see it's hoary enough to have ivy growing on its reverend buildings. What else? So famous people who've attended here, but of course, His Gracious Majesty, the King of the Belgians, Philippe, okay? I remember you also King of the Belgians, not of Belgium. Relevant to the United States would be Lord North, uncharitably known as Blubbery North when he was Eton. He was actually the Earl of Guildford whilst he was Prime Minister, but always known as Lord North, so the courtesy title he'd held during the lifetime of his father. But he was famously Prime Minister during the time of the American Revolution, a tragicomical figure who kept pleading with George III to relieve him of his post. And George III would not permit him to resign as Prime Minister. In those days, one couldn't simply leave a job. You required permission. If you left a job without permission, that was a criminal matter on behalf of the employee, not on behalf of the... But obviously, you could be dismissed. Any breach of contract by the employer was a civil matter, not a criminal matter. So, yeah, more of Trinity, bits of Trinity people very rarely go to. So you can see they've got actually substantial grounds. And I'm told in the late 19th century they actually use them for sports. They've got some sports ground a bit further away. So that's it. And over that wall, that's the back of the New Bodleian Library, the Western Library, as it's known these days. And there's Wadham College over there, named after the couple who founded it. I think the only couple which a husband and wife are held to be joint founder and foundress. Anyway, so Sir Thomas Pope, he also wanted people to pray for the repose of his soul after his decease. He had three wives, not all at the same time, no divorce in those days, but he outlived them all, and there were no surviving children. So he's buried in the chapel, as we shall see. He's the only founder of Oxford College to be buried in his chapel. What else? Coming up to the Stuart Gates, and these will be reopened at the Stuart Restoration. Well, that is a joke. I know, not the most hilarious one, because it's not actually a gate, it's just a fence. So it can't be opened, the Stuarts ain't ever coming back. Okay, so this is the main garden, but as you'll see, it's mostly just a lawn, yeah? So you'll get some idea of the dimensions of the place. It's very fine. Okay, and there's Parks Road over there. Well, when I turn around, you'll see Parks Road. So, yeah, what a lovely spot. Placidity, hey? Some natural beauty. And over the wall that-a-way is St. John's College, Collegium Johanni Baptisti, which has got probably the biggest grounds in the city centre. I remember being at a garden party in the summer of 2000 over there, disporting on the lawn one summer's evening. Those were the days, how carefree. But anyway, yeah, the hall is in the dining room that's being undergoing substantial renovation. The older ones, they built this temporary building in the garden quad, garden which I'll walk by in a moment, is due to be dismantled next year. And look, they've got these various chairs where you can take it easy on the greensward. Ooh, I hear the birds cooing in the arbour beyond. Anyway, yonder, that is that temporary kitchen dining room building which will be taken down. So we're going to be coming up to the garden quad, or quadrangle. So these courtyards are always known as quadrangle, quad for short, except this quad's only got three sides, so with some delightful Oxford illogicality. So every college has got a head of house, and the title of the head of house varies from college to college, as in president, provost, rector, warden, dean, master. In my one, it's master. Here it's president. So generically it's head of house, because as I say, different colleges have got different titles for the boss. Anyway, over that wall, that is the president's garden. And in the old days, Oxford dons had to be ordained priests and they were not permitted to marry. All that changed in 1871. So most dons were not allowed to marry, but their head of house was. So he would live there with his good wife and they'd fill it with their brood. So that's why it's a very substantial residence for someone who had a very high status position. But 1871, he said, no longer need be ordained in the Church of England and you're permitted to marry. Previously, they wanted to marry, they did so with the college's blessing, but they had to leave. So there isn't room for that with the cloistered lifestyle. This is a total community. You have to have all your meals together in hall and you mix. You can come here as a teenage undergraduate, become a don, as in an academic, and stay here to the day you died, buried under the chapel. So here we are in the garden quad. Okay, and I know it looks like a theme park, but this really is a working college. Might hard to believe that some undergraduates, yes, 18 years old, they have their bedrooms in this magnificent courtyard or quadrangle. And one of my friends had one right up there. He's a city solicitor there. I can't identify it exactly in the corner, but a bit to the right. So rowing is popular, but the rowers are most fanatical. They're rowing about 5 o'clock in the morning, the only time of the day you can get everybody together. And they'll be doing a bit of weights and jogging, but mainly that on the river. Now, on a glorious summer's afternoon, it may seem splendiferous, but how about 5 a.m. on a January morning in the pitch dark, when there's a howling gale shrieking off the horizon and torrential rain? Not quite so fun. Anyway, they've chalked up various rowing victories here. You can see doing the college's coat of arms, they gradually wash off with the rain. And here you see women's eights, for example, the crossed oars, the college coat of arms. They've got griffins, as in the head of an eagle, have the body of a lion. Okay, it's not showing the body of a lion, with wings. Okay, women's first eight, as in the best eight rowers amongst the ladies. And then bumped in the bumping races, they bumped into those boats and they overtook them, these races on successive days. So that's it. The garden quadrangle, going into the Durham Quadrangle, because remember this is called Durham Monastery. Benedictine monks from Durham Cathedral came down to found it, and it was suppressed in the 1530s, and this place was refounded as a college 20 years later. But again, this is like 18th century, this quadrangle. And here we are in Durham Quadrangle. Okay, behind me is the hall and dining room. We can't go in. There's Sir Thomas Pope up there in effigy, founder of the college. And so a bit of this is original, the hall and so on, is from 16th century or earlier. And the college was founded around this. It expanded to like over 500 students, but only about half of them live on the main site. So Trinity owns buildings around the city. For the second and subsequent years, they can live out. Of course, you're free to rent privately or even buy your own house, but rents in Oxford are sky high, so they always take the subsidised college accommodation. There's also family accommodation if you arrive here with your spouse and children. Meeting a postgraduate the other day who has a three-year-old daughter. Okay, so that's it. Some of the original buildings. Everything else is a bit later. So they teach almost all subjects here. Feeling they don't do English, they certainly do classics, history. So come into the chapel, which is not original. This was rebuilt substantially, okay? There was a chapel from 1410 from the Benedictine monks. You're going to see a chapel from 1691, because the original one wasn't big enough. So the guy, Ralph Balfour, was in charge at the time when this was built. It took them 3 years to complete. Let's have a look in here with magnificent artwork. Look at that oil painting, hey? The black and white tile pattern on the floor, which is so typical of the Church of England. So it's an Anglican college, but you can be any religious denomination or none and come here. Since 1871, the University Test Act, there was no discrimination. So it could easily seat 100 people. And obviously also when they founded it, attendance of the chapel was compulsory. See the organ up there, and the choir would be up there. Okay, and I'll turn around, give you a view of the altar. Two candles. Church of England always has two candles. Catholic Church, we always have six. And then look at that. What do you call this work? I forget what you call it. Plaster work with little cherubs and grapes and leaf patterns and so on. So magnificent handiwork. Now we'll come to have a look at where the mortal remains of Sir Thomas Pope and his wife Elizabeth are buried. Usually, he doesn't move. Usually. Okay, there they are. Resting for all eternity. And look, what's this about? The dragon at his feet. And there's another creature, is it a dog, beside his wife's feet? Now then, it's always worth looking at the ceiling in Oxford. Take a look at that. It's the heavenly scene of Assumption into heaven. And there you can see the dove representing the Holy Spirit. And as I could say, you could say here the day you died. And where is it? Yeah, it's got inscriptions there for some of the dons. You're buried under the floor. Right. So yeah, you never have to come to the chapel in all your years here. Some people come here every Sunday, and that's it. And then you've got the stained glass windows, coats of arms of various donors, distinguished old members. But these are late 19th century, the stained glass windows. So that is a bit of Trinity College Chapel. Head out again. And one day we'll be able to go into the hall. What else should I show you, tell you? Oh yes, and William Pitt the Elder was here, the guy after whom Pittsburgh is named. So he's in favour of it. Richard Burton, the explorer, not the actor, was here. So over 600 people, about 50 fellows, so over 150 postgraduates. So most of the newer buildings, well, there's 1883, there's a major expansion under Sir Thomas Jackson, who was the architect, and I'll show you that building. We saw it from one side. The houses on the Broad Street, they're known as the cottages, but they go back to the 17th century. So the President's Lodgings, that is built in 1885. What else should I point out to you? So, Yeah, so the Benedictine monks came here. Is there anything else you might want to know? So 40, the old library, 1417, that's now the hall, the one that's being renovated. That dates to 1417, so that's the oldest bit of the college. So Thomas Pope was a lawyer under Henry VIII. He made a lot of money, somehow survived despite being a Catholic. He was a functionary, he was in the Privy Council, and then he helped to found this college. And then the newer hall is from 1618, but I wish we could go in there. It's got obviously high table for the dons. Anything else you'd want to know about it? Not really. It's a very portrait when it's open of distinguished old members of the college. And that's about it, really. It thrived in the 17th century, over 100 years after it was founded. The memorials to people who from this college who were killed in the First World War, Second World War, and so on. So there's a new library in 1928, which we passed. So Sir Arthur Norrington, he was head of the college in the 1950s, president. He invented the Norrington table, which ranked the colleges academically based on how many first-class degrees, 2-1s, and so on, they get each year. So back out onto their main quadrangle show you the master's lodgings from this angle. They've had a lot of work going on here for months and months. Here we're outside the chapel again. Okay, see those things, symbolic flames right at the top. And this is 1885, the President's Lodgings by Thomas Jackson. Do you see, wouldn't mind living in there? I bumped into a former president of this college, Sir Michael Beloff, a couple of months ago. There we go, and then it says private on the door. So not bad to have that as your accommodation. We can't get in this way, but that's the main 19th century expansion, this building, 1883, but looks rather older by Thomas Jackson. So that is a whistle-stop tour of Trinity College. Ooh, the flag's been borne aloft with joy. It's fluttering in the breeze up high, but they can't see it from this angle. I don't know why they're flying the flag. They don't do so every day, of course. So that is Trinity College. Well, I do hope you've enjoyed having a bit of a look around it. Don't mention the word Balliol here. I just said it. We're over the wall. They're deadly rivals. Balliol supposedly used to play tricks on them by releasing sheep into their ground, numbering them 1, 2, and 4. And then they spend hours looking for number 3. There is no number 3. That's Balliol through there. Okay, I've never ever seen that open. And then if we go a bit further, do we see the flag up high? Right at the top of the chapel? You can't see it from this angle. You can see a bit further back. So thank you for watching my video. Make sure you subscribe to Patreon and donate on PayPal. I think maybe you can just about see the flag. So on PayPal, it's georgecallahan79@gmail.com. Right, so you can obviously hire me as a tour guide in Oxford or London, anywhere in Southwest England. So please email me gcallahan@gmail.com. gcallahan@gmail.com. Yes, I put a triple N in that. You can see the college flag now. Right, that's enough, everybody. I'm going to say goodbye from Oxford, from Trinity College, Oxford, one of the constituent colleges of Oxford University. Right. Goodbye, everyone.